Welcome to worship. It is great to be with you this morning. As we prepare, we have them stand, yeah? They're going to sing? Eventually they will sing. And then when they sing, they will stand. There's a song right after this, right? Okay, so. You're going to sing in a second. So I'm going to have you stand now. Okay. Yeah? It's Christian calisthenics. Hear these words from Psalm 100 as our call to worship, our invitation to give the fullness of ourselves. Whenever we hear a call to worship, really it is sort of that sense of, okay, everything else that has been happening to get us to this moment, we now are going to lay that aside. We're not going to forget about it. God hasn't forgotten about it, but now we want to give our full attention to what the Lord is inviting us into. We're going to give our undivided attention to the Lord and discover that God is giving undivided attention to us. Hear these amazing words from Scripture. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is God who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. So enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name, for the Lord is good. Amen. And His love endures forever. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
His faithfulness continues through all generations. Let us give praise to God.
Father, we bow before Your throne and join the seraphim and cherubim and all the saints around the throne. We're thinking especially of those who have gone on ahead recently. And we cry, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, Your handiwork is astounding. Your grace is beyond us to understand. You are good. You are merciful. And Your love is magnificent and marvelous. So we offer this hour of worship to You, bringing ourselves and all that we are, and all of our messes, and all of our successes, we bring them to You and want to honor You and worship You in this hour. And we want to pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Welcome once again to worship. We're so glad you're here with us.
I've been inspired to share with you the last few weeks what I consider wilderness stories. Stories that are describing the way in which we find ourselves, sometimes through no fault of our own, in a season of life that is incredibly challenging, in a season of life that is stretching and scary and pulls us and forces us to grow in ways that, frankly, we would not choose on our own, but nevertheless are ways in which when we find ourselves in these places, we experience God's provision, we experience God's presence, we experience the life of God in ways that we couldn't ever possibly experience it any other way. The story I'm drawing our attention to this morning does not have a wilderness in it, but it is to have some wild stuff. We're going to see this story that is probably familiar to many of us, the story of Jesus walking on the water and Peter going out to meet Jesus and noticing that when Peter steps out, everything's going really, really great until Peter starts to stop noticing Jesus and starts noticing the wild waves and the wild wind. And the title of the sermon is Keeping Jesus on Our Screens, which is just a nice little Silicon Valley way of saying it's really important to pay attention to what we pay attention to. It's really important to pay attention to what we pay attention to, because when we pay attention to something or someone, anything, anyone that isn't Jesus, inevitably we're going to sink. Inevitably we're going to find ourselves getting pretty wet. And that's not a bad thing, it's just a real thing. And the invitation to us whenever we are going through this wilderness journey is to keep our eyes, keep Jesus on our screens. And I want to think a little bit about how to do that and think a little bit about the grace that comes to us when inevitably we don't. So let's listen to this story again. Matthew chapter 14, beginning at verse 22. Jesus has just got done doing one of those amazing feeding miracles where everybody who was gathered all got really, really well fed. To which Matthew says, immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, Jesus went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Let's say thanks be to God. Thanks be to God for the way Jesus immediately shows up. Thanks be to God for the way Jesus invites us to come and join him out of the boat. Thanks be to God that even though Peter has seen Jesus doing amazing things, like immediately, notice the time differential between Jesus doing this amazing feeding miracle and Peter getting totally freaked out by being out on the water with Jesus, right? Notice the immediacy of Jesus' presence to us when we make the decision to want to be where Jesus is. If you don't hear anything else this morning, remember this. If you want to be where Jesus is, you're going to have to get out of the boat. That's just how it goes. To live the life of a disciple, that is, to live the life of someone who wants to walk the Jesus way, who wants to live in life the way Jesus did, who wants to bless the world as Jesus does, who wants to live in this deep intimacy with the Father that we see hinted at in this story, if you want to do all that good stuff, if you want to be a part of this abundant, rich life that Jesus kind of refers to in this beautiful shorthand called the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, if you want to be a part of all that, you're going to have to get out of the boat. Sooner or later, you're going to see Jesus out there doing something amazing, and there's going to be that part of you that says, I want to be where you are. And Jesus is going to say, yeah, me too. I want you to be where I am. Come. Come and be where I am. You're going to have to get out of the boat. So remember, I told you, nobody goes to the wilderness by choice. But actually, two people in this story go to the wilderness by choice. Did you notice that? Now, obviously, I'm talking about Peter. Peter says, if it's you, Lord, command me. I don't want to do this on my own initiative. But if you're out there in the water, I want to be where you are. Tell me to come and join you. Jesus says, absolutely, be here. Be here with me. Be here out in what I'm doing. So Peter does ask, and Peter gets invited to step out into that wilderness experience, right? And it's at that moment, he's out there. Do you notice how Matthew makes it a little joke? He says, Peter, seeing the wind. I'm sorry, what? I can't see the wind. Can you see wind? We can see the effects of the wind, right? Maybe Matthew's basically kind of offering a shorthand way of saying what Peter really noticed was that he was surrounded by this elemental force that is the wind. He felt it. It's pushing him. It's blowing him. He's out on this really unstable surface, the water. He's noticing that the water isn't tranquil, glassy. It's bumping up and down, right? So he's in the midst of, now he's out there in the midst of the raw force of nature. And he's experiencing all that, and Peter and Matthew just simply says, he saw the wind. I don't know about you, I can't see the wind, but boy, I can feel it. I can feel when things feel unstable. I can sense that. This is like, I am not in my comfort zone anymore. There's nothing comfortable about this. And the moment that happens, the moment that Peter takes his eyes off of Jesus and starts to notice the circumstances, notices the facts, right? The facts of the situation. The facts of the situation for the last 10 months were I was unemployed. The facts of the situation were I had no idea where I was gonna live come January 1st. When it was all done. The facts were that I was knocking on doors and everything was closed. Maybe for you, the facts are that diagnosis. The facts are the experience, that what's happening in my body, the way your body is not working for you. Maybe the facts are the facts. And it's not at all the situation. It's not at all what Jesus is saying, I think, that we are to ignore the facts or not notice them or pretend that they're not happening. What Jesus is really inviting us into is to keep him on our screen. That's the invitation. Yep, it's all happening. It's all as bad as you think it is. It's all as hard as you think it is. The wind really is blowing that hard. The waves really are this rocky. Things are just as crazy as you think they are. Frankly, they're probably worse. You just don't realize it yet, right? That's confronting the brutal facts. This is not about pretending that the brutal facts aren't there, but it's to keep Jesus on your screen the whole time. And so, Peter steps out. He takes his eyes off of Jesus. He notices what's happening. He starts to sink. And he does, again, he cries out. I will remind you again, Hagar cried out. And, you know, that's the thing you do in the wilderness. This is not the time to buck up. This is not the time to get stoic. This is not the time to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. This is not the time to pretend or live in denial about the challenges. This is not the time for doing that. This is the time to cry out, save me. Lord, save me. And Jesus, text says, immediately reaches. Immediately grabs for Peter. God longs to meet us. He invites us out into the wilderness. He invites us out into the wildness of life. And he's right there with us. And he hears us when we cry out. We hear that promise again. Old Testament, New Testament, same God revealed through the same person of Jesus Christ, telling us that he's available. And he picks him up and he says, little faithling. You little faithling, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? And what I love about Matthew's story is that Jesus isn't asking a rhetorical question, and yet he also doesn't make Peter answer it. He doesn't put Peter on the spot and go, okay, now please explain to me why it is that I told you to step out into the waves after you had seen me feed all those beautiful people out on the plain, and you still doubted me. I am just so disappointed in you. It's none of that. It's like, bro, I had you. You were good. What happened? See, we could get it into our heads that the point of this story is don't listen to Jesus when he tells you to get out of the boat or you're going to get wet. Like, we could take that as the point. Or we could say, oh gosh, I don't want to be like Peter. I'm not going to step out of the boat until I know my faith is strong enough to keep me from getting wet. So I got to go work on my faith. That didn't work that way either. You know how faith gets worked out? By getting out of the boat. It's only going to happen. And I submit to you, based on my personal experience, that if Jesus calls you to get out of the boat a million times, on the million and first time, you're still going to get wet. And Jesus is still going to ask you, why did you doubt? And there's this moment, what I think is a beautiful moment between you and Jesus, in which you can look at him and just go, I don't even know anymore. That's what it was like for me. That's what it's been like for me this last couple of weeks. To think about this journey that I've been on and to think about the journey that we're going to get to take together and to think about how it is that there's going to be a day that's going to take us longer to get to than you would like and I would like, but we're going to get there, a day when the new chapter that's happening in West Valley Presbyterian is going to be will and truly on its way, and we are going to look back and think, remember how we thought the church was totally going to fold in on itself? Remember how we thought this whole thing was just going to collapse? Remember how we just thought the whole world was going to come apart? And we even said to ourselves, you know what? If we could just not freak out about that and keep Jesus on our screen, you know, this could be kind of fun. This is, you know, wouldn't it be fun to be able to meet Jesus out on the water? Wouldn't that be fun? And I kept telling myself that throughout the last 10 months. I kept saying to myself, I know that there's going to be a moment in which all that God is intending and the fact that He invited me to leave my job. He invited me to step into this new season of life. He provisioned me. I didn't miss a meal. I didn't miss a car payment. My kids didn't go without clothing. Nobody got, you know, health insurance was there. I mean, my life has not been diminished in any way, shape, or form. And yet I was still scared to death. And I remember saying to myself, man, if only I could just trust that at the end of this, at the right time, it's all going to sort itself out, and I'm going to look back and go, man, I wished I'd had more fun instead of worrying that whole time. And so here I am, soaking wet. And Jesus has pulled me up out of the water, and he's looking at me, and he's saying, little faithling, why did you doubt? And I'm just looking at him going, I don't even know anymore. I don't even have a good answer. When I was younger, I hadn't seen your faithfulness time and time and time again. Maybe I had an excuse back then. If I hadn't seen you show up and rescue me Meet me in the depths of my despair. Pull me out of the hardest places. Sustain me when I had no idea how I was going to get sustained. When all manner of badness was surrounding me, Lord, and you rescued me, and I can name your faithfulness over and over and over again. I have no explanation as to why I'm soaking wet right now, but I am. And thank you. Thanks, Jesus, for immediately pulling me out of the water again. Keep getting out of the boat. Because that's where the learning happens. That's where the discovery happens. That's where the growing happens. You got to keep getting out of the boat. And don't sweat it if you get wet again. Jesus is used to it. But here's the thing I want to think about. And here's the thing you're going to hear me talk a lot about for the time that we're together. The question is how? How do I keep Jesus on my screen? And I know that the answer that you're going to expect me to say, because we're good Protestants, is read your Bible. If you read your Bible, you'll keep Jesus on your screen. That is the right answer. It's not a complete answer, but it's the right answer. Yes. Doing our quiet time. Reading the scriptures. Being in fellowship. Serving alongside others out in the world. All of these spiritual disciplines keep Jesus on our screen. But notice what Matthew points out right before Jesus starts walking on the water. It says he put them in the boat, sent them on their way, sent the people away, and then he went off to be alone with the Father. Jesus experienced regular times of solitude and silence in which he would simply abide with the Father. That's how he kept the Father on his screen. And John will tell us, right? John explains and says, I heard Jesus say, I only do what I see the Father doing. So Jesus kept the Father on his screen by being in solitude and in silence, by practicing intimate communion with the Father on a regular basis. What I'm going to refer to as contemplative practices. And because he regularly experienced contemplative practice, he knew what it was like to be in the midst of the felt and experience the felt presence of God all the time. And it was out of that experience, out of that sense of really seeing the world the way it really is, that he walks on water, that he stands in the midst of the wind and the waves, that he can invite Peter to join him, and that when they step into the boat, all that ceases. All that noise, all that static, all that energy, all that chaos that we're so afraid of, Jesus knows because of the intimacy he has with the Father that that's not the defining reality. The defining reality is that he is perfectly safe in the Father's care. And he can invite Peter to join him out on the waves because he knows that's true for Peter too. Do you know that? Do you know that you are perfectly safe in the care of the Father? Do you know it up here and wish you knew it down here? If so, welcome to the little faithlings club. Right? That's us. That's all of us. And we're all looking to make that movement. To go, yep, I know it because I've read my Bible. I know it because I hang out in church. I know it, but I need to know it in the depths of my being to be known that I'm held and beloved, and that whenever Jesus says, step out of the boat and meet me out in this place of great risk, I can trust and know that if Jesus is inviting me, that's the place to go. That, friends, is the journey I want to invite you on to. That's what the wilderness really provides for us. It puts us out there where all of a sudden all the other stuff gets stripped away and we discover God's rich provision. I've probably gone too long because it's communion time. But I want you to think about this because as we transition to the Lord's table this morning, this is God's tangible provision of his Son to us. This is keeping Jesus on our screens. To receive this meal, to look at our at our neighbor, our loved ones, our friends, our family, gathered here in worship, to do this together is to say we're all going to keep Jesus on our screens. And he's bringing us together in unity. He's inviting all of us out of the boat. And he's meeting us here. That's part of why we share this meal together. It's part of why Jesus insisted that we would continue to gather, continue to break bread together, continue to be in fellowship, and continue to keep him at the center of our lives, to keep him on our screens. And so as you now hear this word, take it in, as you imagine yourself standing on the boat, seeing Jesus out there, or maybe you imagine yourself putting that first tentative step out of the boat, or maybe you imagine yourself sinking, or maybe you imagine yourself soaking wet and Jesus grabbing hold of you, wherever you are in your journey of saying yes to Jesus' invitation, know that the next right step, the next small little step, is to say yes to the gift of his table. I want to invite... Oh, I'm going to pray. Thank you, Bob. Bob's giving me... The director's giving me cues. I'm going to pray so that those of us who are going to help serve the communion this morning can assemble. Will you pray with me? Loving Lord, we are so grateful for the gift of your invitation, your calling to us, your claim on us. We're grateful that you don't lead us and call us to an easy life, but you do call us to a full life, a life of purpose, a life of meaning, a life that joins you out in the midst of the wild world. As the word has been planted in our hearts this morning, may it take root. May this story fire up our imaginations this week. May we sense your call to move outside of our comfort zones and to meet you where you are at, out in the world, in the wildness of things, doing amazing work and inviting us to meet you, to join you, and to be part of it with you. And as we wonder to ourselves, how in the world could I say yes to that? May we experience by the power of your Holy Spirit, the provision, the nourishment, the union we crave with you and with one another, made real for us here at this table. Prepare, enable us by your grace to receive this gift. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The night that he was betrayed by one of his good friends, Jesus had gathered all of his friends together and said, I've been longing to share this meal with you. And at the beginning of the meal, he took bread and he broke it, blessing it and saying, this is my body which is given for you. And likewise, at the end of the meal, he took the cup and pouring it out said, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. And for as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he returns. And he is going to return. Amen.
Amen.
And so we look and wait upon that day and we receive the nourishment we need until then from this table. This table is open. If you have even a little bit of faith in Jesus, and if you long for more of it, you are welcome to this place to receive the fullness of what God would offer to you. May God bless you in receiving it. Amen.
Christ broken for you.
Thanks, Frank. Friends, it's our custom to hold the cup until we've all received it, and then I will lead us in sharing in it together. Friends, let us share in the cup together. Take and drink. Thank you, loving Father, for giving us your Son and showing us the way through him into life everlasting. We give you thanks, Lord Jesus, for coming to meet us in our place of deep darkness and bringing us into your loving light, and for sending your Holy Spirit to be among us. Loving Spirit, we give you thanks that you dwell within us and confirm to us the truth of your gospel and bring us into unity with one another. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to you we give all thanks and praise. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Friends, now receive the benediction. This is the good word of the Lord for you this day. The one who created the wind and the waves reveals himself in the person of Jesus and invites you to come. Be blessed now in meeting Jesus out in the world where he is at play and invites you to come and play with him. Go now in his peace and in the assurance of his constant provision. Amen.